Yes. From Netherlands, Brother Chris. Are the Jews who currently practice Judaism in this grace age saved? Or must they come through Christ? They have always practiced Judaism, even when Christ was on ground. They crucified Christ because he was not practicing Judaism. And it's because they wanted to stick to Judaism. God closed their eyes. Verse 25 of Romans chapter 11. It says, blindness in part has come upon Israel until... Am I correct? He said, for I will not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceit, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until when? Until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. Until the rapture takes place. The fullness of the rapture of the Gentile is the rapture. For he came to his own, and his own received him not. That is why he turned to the Gentiles. He blinded their eyes. And that was why he sent Isaiah with that prophecy to blind their eyes. In Isaiah chapter 6. So, yes, but he always has his remnant. He has remnant, but as a nation, they are still practicing Judaism and they are completely groping in darkness. The light has moved away from them. The Jews that practice Christianity, they are called Messianic Jews because they believe that the Messiah has come. They believe in Christ. But largely, they are still offering sacrifices. They are still observing Sabbath. They are still killing ram when the lamb that taketh away the sin has been. Look, we are privileged people. Let's clap our hands for Jesus. Hey! Praise God. We are not of them that walk in darkness. If you are not seeing well, then sing this song with me. Open my eyes that I may see glimpses of truth. Thou hast on me placed in my hands a wonderful key that shall unclasp and set me free. Oh, silently now I wait for you. That's the prayer of every sincere person. Satan is in the business of blocking our eyes of revelation. But in the case of Israel, it's God himself that blinding it. But when the light came to Gentiles, it's Satan that is in the business of blinding us with the spirit of religion. And he continued like that in the ages. But he said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. Hallelujah. And before the rapture will come, amen, every coverage will be removed. And our eyes of understanding, he has opened up as we victory is ours, we will change our mind. So Jubilee has sounded, and we have responded to others with original eyes. Hallelujah. Original Christianity. If you want to know what the original Christianity is, God has sent us a message. In this age, what is the message? Come out of denominational Babylon and come back to the Bible Christianity. And if you come back to the Bible Christianity, amen, If you come back to the Bible, like my sister from Togo said, that she opened the Bible and discovered what we are saying is true. But she has been reading it before. Hallelujah. You will discover so many things have gone wrong in Christianity. So when they come here, some people come here without hangover. Instead of seeing Jubilee, they are expecting to continue the same thing. Though even in the message, Satan has jumped in there. But the elect can never be deceived. Praise the Lord. The anointing we have now is the eagle anointing. You cannot cage an eagle. We are not chickens, we are eagles. Amen. And so you read this Bible, You study, you will ask questions. You will begin to ask questions. You mean this Bible, now everybody they read. When did we break into denomination? Catholic, Anglican, Presbyterian, people have redeemed, choosing, bride, all everybody like that. Something happened somewhere. We know of the fivefold ministry: apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. Where did we get archbishop, reverend doctor? When did it start? It started somewhere. Amen. Every baptism in the Bible was done in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. What is happening? When did they even bring a baptismal class and baptismal certificate? All the apostles, apart from Apostle Paul, they had wives. Where were their wives in their ministry? Why are we having mommy and daddy churches now? Read this Bible. Where did you see any woman pastor in the Bible? Something happened. Tears. We are planted in the church of Jesus Christ. And Apostle Paul said, any man that will preach anything contrary to what they preach, let him be accursed. The certainty of the scriptures. Hallelujah. So Christianity has been turned upside down, but in this age, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. False prophets are lying. God's truth they are denying. That Jesus the Christ is our God. Though this generation false God's revelation, we are the apostles of truth. We are the way of redemption. Move that was looking for anointing, go with money to buy anointing, was a sorcerer. And there are sorcerers today in the church. This Bible says the gift that we have, freely we receive, freely we should give out. Why are people selling anointed water, anointed handkerchief, anointed apple, anointed t-shirt, anointed prayer shawl, anointed prayer mat, anointed everything, anointed, even there's a pool where you go there and then you pay, you enter, plus all manner of places. And when we talk, they say, why are you criticizing? Why will you not criticize? We are trying to expose the tears in Christianity. Tears in Christianity. The Bible does not permit a woman to be ordained into pastoral ministry.
But a woman can exercise the gifts,
but she cannot lead men. It's not permitted.
The Bible does not permit a woman to wear that which pertains to a man. In this part of the world, trousers and a man get them. Skirt, the woman get them. Brother, don't wear skirt. Brother, stop wearing skirt. Sister, stop wearing trousers. If you're a Christian, they are strange. They are strange in Christianity. It was imported into Christian faith. Don't do that. Now, they don't preach the cross anymore. They preach prosperity. Listen, hallelujah. Hallelujah. There is the hand of Jesus and there is the face of Jesus. And our destiny is to be conformed to the image of Christ. And if you look at only his hand, you won't know how he looks like. To look at the hand is prosperity, what you can get from him without looking at the suffering he suffered on the cross. So I will cherish that old rugged cross till I bypassing the cross. Yes,
salvation came only through the cross. You can't bypass it. It says, on a hill far away stood a
rock.
It's an emblem of suffering and shame.
Lord, that the cross, yeah, the dearest of men, for a world of love, sin I was slain. So I cherish that old rugged cross. Feel my trust. I will cling to that old rugged cross.
And exchange
is something for a cross.
That man of Calvary
has won.
God sent us a message in this day, preparing us for home going. Nobody come across us by accident. If you are not a candidate for rapture, you won't know us. Amen. Okay, let me hear you.
Praise the Lord. Pastor, I just want to ask.
Oh, somebody from Paris. Osamo, dear man, I named my first daughter Trinity. Please, sir, is it right? If no, what will I do? Amen. Listen, listen. You have a knowledge now of what Trinity is. In description of the Godhead, there is a Trinity. But it's not Trinity of persons. Hallelujah. By a trinity of offices.
Yes,
so, now you named him with three persons in your mind. Now, call your daughter with this understanding now of the Godhead. That is one God in three offices. Not three persons in one God. So continue to call him or her Trinity. You have not broken scriptures. It's understanding. After all, there's no word in the Bible like Trinity. It's a theological description of the Godhead. Thank you. Yes.
Praise the Lord. Sir, please, I just want to know the differences between the first fruit and the tithe. Because some people say that is the same, some say that is different. Please, I just want to clarify myself.
First fruit is the first yield you have from an investment or from an employment, your first salary. Out of each, you take a shift. Not everything. Our eyes of understanding, he has opened up now. Don't let any pastor collect the whole of your salary in January.
That's what they say, that everything.
That part of the mumu, what will they do before now? Until God open our eyes. First fruit is not everything. And first fruit is paid only once.
And God, they say whatever you have throughout the month of January, if you are a business person, whatever you
it pay, is wrong. You see, our members know that you are a visitor here. I'm sure you are not our members. Are you a member here?
Yeah.
Since when?
Almost 2 months now.
How many?
2 months.
Oh, 2 months. I think so you said 2 years. Because when December they come, with a player for Bright Television, 30 times in a day. We enter January, the end of January. If you don't see her yesterday, you will see her today. If you don't see her, to expose all this nonsense they are doing.
So please, I want to clarify myself how we can do it.
Now, first fruit is the first business you go into. Whatever profit you have, whatever time you, whatever period you use to determine your profit. The Bible says you take a sheaf. A sheaf is a handful concerning harvest, farm yields. So if it is money, any amount, just take it and bring it to the Lord. Wave it with a prayer. That job you gave me, see, I have brought my first fruit from that yield. You drop it. Subsequently, as far as that job is concerned, only tithe you pay. Unless you have changed job, you start another new work somewhere, then you pay first fruit again from that job. If the same thing, your line of business, if you change the line of business, then you repeat it. But subsequently, it's only tight, as long as you are in that employment, as long as that. Not every January you bring the whole of salary. Covetous preachers, enriching themselves, using scriptures. They know what they are doing is wrong. That is not the meaning of first fruit. So you see it now. But that is different from a vow. You can decide to make a vow that the first salary of every year you are giving it to the Lord is you making the vow, not a law. And God will honor it as you continue hunger for January. Now you know as you go take down. From Libya, Ugochukwu Uzo, Shalom, sir. As a woman. Ugochukwu? Ugochukwu? Wait, am I Igbo man? Shalom, sir. As a woman, can I be a Sunday school teacher? We used to share the people in the church. Then I used to teach the women's side in Redeem RCCG, Redeem Christian Church. I believe that's it. Is it right? Well, let me quickly tell you, in Redeem, they ordain women pastors. I never read and finish. Oh. They ordain women pastors. So it is in that capacity you are functioning there like that. Where there are men sitting down, a woman does not sit down to teach them scripture. It's thus said the word of God. I love what I am receiving in Bright Assembly through Bright TV. They are watching Bright TV in Libya. Clap your hands now. Clap your hands. It is wonderful. I have never had it this way. My eyes of understanding has opened. May God bless and increase you, sir. Secondly, sir, can a person that has a gift of prophecy be able to hold herself and hold back the prophecy that was given to her and not give the message that day? Then, two months later, something happened in the church. She was telling someone that she wanted to give a prophecy last 2 months, but she withheld it, and she started saying what God told her to say that day. This is someone that each time a prophecy came upon her, she will not know herself. Is it a genuine gift? God bless you, sir. Again, sir, can a woman lead in opening or any prayer in the church where there are men? No. What happened to the men? Where they there? They not sabi pray. Church order. In your house, you can tell your wife to pray for you, but when we come together like this, the church order. What will be the other question? What are you talking? Prophecy. The gift of prophecy, if you notice in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it speaks of different operations and different manifestations. Yes. It is also written that the spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. Okay? Yes. But when a gift of prophecy is just beginning, and it's a genuine gift, you will not be able to control it. Because you won't even understand what is happening to you. But later on, you will have to grow it. So that is when it is starting. It throws you down. It wearies your flesh. There's a sister that when in this church, when the thing used to come initially, you know, sometimes they will run to pursue her to hold her. And even when she finished prophesying, you have to tell her that she prophesied. She wouldn't even know what she said because it's like she passes out. Okay? So, but later on, you know, she outgrew it. And sometimes it is an unwilling person that type of anointing comes on. When you are the type that you will not be willing, when the Spirit wants to speak through you, then he will ruffle you small. But when you now say, okay, are we, then he will lighten it small. It happens even in this ministry. And when you receive a message and you refuse to give it, that's a revelation, a word of knowledge. Very soon you silence the gift. You become you one that is not dependable again. But when you do that, you are also losing a reward that goes with that commission from God. Amen. God bless you, my sister from Libya. Yes?
Good morning, sir.
God bless you.
Good morning, church. My question is taken from the scripture, Timothy chapter 2, verse Timothy 2, chapter 2, verse 20.
There are
20.
Two Timothys. First
Second Timothy,
letter, second
Timothy chapter 2, verse 20. Yeah. I read, but in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. Now this is my question. Who are the ones to honor and who are the ones to dishonor? To be this.
What did he say? Where is that?
Second Timothy chapter 2,
verse 20. Where is that vessel? Read again.
But in a great house there are
Okay, it's in a house, isn't it?
Yes.
You have a house? You don't live in a house? You live or three?
I live in a house.
You live in a house?
Yes.
Eh?
Yes.
You live with your father?
Yes.
Okay. There are some cups that you use to drink water, right?
Yes.
But there are some cups that we keep in the toilet, right?
Yes.
The cups that you keep in the toilet and the cup that you keep in the dining table where you drink, are they of the same value? You attach the same value to them?
No.
Eh?
No.
So there are vessels, some unto honor on the table and some unto dishonor in the toilet.
Okay, sir.
But that great house is the house of the Lord. And there are different types of composition that are in the church. Different. They're there. So that is what Apostle Paul is trying to tell you. We are a mixed multitude. Yes. Yes, please.
Shalom, Shosh.
Okay, from France, Sister Esther from France. Please, Shalom, Pastor, please, what qualifies a man to pastor a church? A restored church. I mean, an end-time believing gathering. Can a man whose family does not follow the church pastor a church? Thank you, sir. I think this sister has asked this question some time ago. What qualifies one to pastor a church? Okay. 1 Timothy chapter 3, that is the qualification. From verse 1. 1 Timothy chapter 3. This is a true saying. If a man desire the office of a bishop, that's the office of a pastor, he desired a good work. This is the qualification. A bishop then must be blameless. The husband of one wife, a polygamous person, cannot pastor a church. Vigilant, sober, good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach, and on and on. That is the qualification of a pastor. Now, but there is something else. Okay, let's read it down. Let's read it down. Reference to what you are saying concerning the family. He said, not given to wine, nor striker, nor greedy of pity looker, be patient, but patient, not a brawler, not covetous. One that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. And he added in verse 5, for if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? So what he's saying here is, how will you be going to go and teach other people when you have failed to teach your own in your house? So the beginning of your pastoral ministry is your house. If you fail there, you are not qualified to go out and pastor other people. God bless you. I think I've answered the questions. Yes, please.
My question is from Deuteronomy chapter 14, verse 28. At the end of every 3 years, thou shalt bring forth all the tithe of thy increase the same year, and shall lay it up within thy gate. Deuteronomy 27.
Finish reading it. And what will happen there with it?
And the Levite.
One.
Because he had no part.
Uh-huh.
Nor inheritance with him.
Uh-huh.
And the stranger.
The stranger.
And the fatherless.
The fatherless orphans.
And the widow.
And the widow.
Which are within thy gates.
Thank you. Oh yeah, read the next verse you want to read. They are the ones that will
26.
Eat. Sorry, you didn't finish the verse. They are the ones that will come together and eat it. Yeah, verse what? Chapter what? The next verse. Go on.
Deuteronomy 26, verse 12. When thou hast made an end of tithing all the tithe of thy increase, the third year, which is the year of tithing, and has given it unto the Levite, the stranger, the fatherless, the widow, that they may eat within thy gates and be filled. Now, the same thing also in Amos chapter 4, verse 4.
So, what's your question?
And the question, my question is, according to the scripture, the Bible said that the tithe paying is the third year, at the end of every third year. Where is it written in the scripture that we should come with our tithe every service day? That's my question.
Praise the Lord. Now, listen very well. Israel had a lot of ceremonies. Listen. The emphasis in that, in the two scriptures you have read, is the people that will benefit from it. Now, if I ask you now, because you must answer this question I want to ask you.
Yes, sir.
Before the 3 years complete, the last 3 years, what will these three groups of people be eating?
Now, thank you, sir, for the question. The question, when I was studying and asking, I saw that scripture and read about three places in the script, in the Bible. I saw that scriptures. I begin to ask questions. I begin to go deep into the spirit. And the Lord make me to understand. The question I was asking is, what is the meaning of the 3 years? Now, the Lord make me to understand that we have 5 years. Or let's call it fivefold ministry of God, or 5 years, or 5 weeks, or 5 hours, or 5 days. They are the same thing. Fivefold ministry is the ministry of God that unfolds in every generation.
Excuse me.
Now, sir, let me answer.
Excuse me. Are we talking about, are you saying that tithe was foretelling the fivefold ministry?
Tithe was as it was given to the Jews, the natural church. Abraham paid it. It was something that was to be in the church, not in the physical. It is something to be in the church, inside the house. Because in the...
Excuse me. You don't believe in the payment of tithes?
I pay tithes. But suddenly, God opened my eye to
it.
So
now that you have seen this, what have you now decided in line with what you have read in the Old Testament setting?
Now, in the Old Testament setting...
There is no need for tithe again.
The tithe is the same thing with commandments.
I said,
according to the scripture,
I want to get your own understanding.
Yes.
So now that you have gotten better understanding,
yeah,
from this scripture you read,
yeah,
now there will be no need to pay tithe again. You will have no need to pay tithe,
sir. No need. There's no tithe. There's no tithe in the question. In the question of natural, that is paying it, bringing tithe physically.
You are repeating
it. It is a tithe. Tithe is something that is to be in us, according to the second
scripture.
That's
why I'm saying, now, what is it now? You were paying your tithe before. Now, what is your decision now in line with this? As an individual now, not as a teacher. You, your own now, decision for yourself now.
It's not only me, son. It's for the church.
I say, I am asking you. Yes. I'm asking you now.
Yes.
We are interacting. I say, you now, what is your own decision now concerning tithe?
My own decision concerning tithe is that the God has set his tithe inside of me. And there's no need of me bringing.
Therefore, bringing you will not be paying
naturally.
Tithe again, Abby.
Sir, tithe is something that is to
what
be.
What is the problem with you now? Why you have a revelation?
No,
speak confidently.
There's no need. There's no need of paying tithe.
Therefore, you, in view of that revelation, you will not pay tithe again.
No need of paying tithe.
Fine. Now listen, church. Tithe commended you not to God. You hear me now? You get my English. You hear me now? The tithe that we pay now is for your own benefit. Whether you pay or you don't pay, if you pay, you will enjoy the benefits. If you don't pay, you will suffer for lack of payment. And if you believe that you don't have to pay and you will still prosper, let it be unto you according to your faith. God bless you. The next person.
Second question, sir. Second question. Second question.
You know why?
I'm not
a preacher of tithe. You understand? I believe. See, there is a church that I know, even in Lagos here, somewhere in Shomolu, and there's a church in America. I have visited them. They don't even call for offering. They keep the offering boxes at the gates. And Brother Jackson, the pastor, said that he has better things to talk about than offering. He said that if you're a Christian, you should know when you're going to church, you go with offering. He said that you have to be reminded to bring offering. He said something is wrong with you. And so also about tithes. If you believe that you don't want to acknowledge God in your blessings, then go ahead. I asked a question. I said, that's why I wanted you to finish reading. The stranger, the Levite, the widow, and the orphan, they are the ones to take the tithe. That means there is a need for it. Do we still have that need now? Why are you saying then that we should not pay when the same need that necessitated the law for the tithe is still available now? As it was in the natural church, so it shall be in the spiritual church. Are we not gathering here? Don't we have orphans here? Do you know how many millions we spend here at the beginning of every session for scholarships, for widows' children, and orphans and the different needy people who cannot send their children to school? Do you know how much we pay in this church? Where do we get the money from?
Sir.
So for anybody to say tithe is not available, then from where are we going to get the money from? When you can come and pay tithe 10,000 naira, when it's time for offering, you bring 100 naira. Is it that couple 20 naira they put for here? Now we go to take care of our widows, take care of our orphans, take care of other needs. What are we going to use in this age to buy land and have our property? Why will you pay this electric bill? They are hearing you now, this microphone. Now offering will take buyer 100 naira, 20 naira, one and the bring come. The only source of income in a church is tithe. And that is why, if you don't pay your tithe, you are looking for trouble from God. Because you are hindering the work of God. That is the truth. God bless you.
Second question. The Bible said that we are sealed. The second question I want to ask is, how do we receive Holy Ghost? When the Bible says that we are sealed unto the day of redemption.
I have taken a detailed teaching on the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Please go through the tapes. Get it. Listen to it very well. If you don't understand, you can call me personally and we'll talk in my office. The next person, please. Thank you very much. From Ghana,
Shalom, sir.
Sister Miranda. Ever since I came across Bride Assembly, I have not had any teaching from the book. Wait. Where is that brother? Where is he? Are you the one that brought some revelation to me? Are you the one?
Yes, sir.
And I banned you from sending such revelation to me. I banned you, and you still remain banned. Okay, let me have that question, please. A wrong spirit brings messages to you. I read them. You write some very funny things to me. And I told you to stop it. Because you, if I read some of them to the church here, they will wonder which spirit was talking. And I banned you. Now you are coming to carry microphone again and bring funny, funny arguments. Now you want to question Holy Ghost baptism. Eh? You are prophesying. You want to prophesy judgment on me. And I know what you are accusing me of. I am clean with it. That's how I know that it's a wrong spirit speaking. Praise the Lord. I didn't ban you because you prophesy judgment on me. You take time and even type them pages upon pages. And thus said the seven thunder spirit. I think that's what you say. That's the spirit you receive from seven thunder spirit. Thus said the seven thunder spirit, seven thunder anointing. Thus said the seven thunder. And that I am guilty of blah, 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 blah. And I look, I'm not guilty. So which spirit is talking to you? Can God lie? So I knew something was wrong somewhere. Praise the Lord. Something. I didn't know you still come to this church. I didn't know. You are welcome. Can I have this question? Ever since I came across Bride Assembly, I have not had any teaching from the book Song of Solomon. I find it difficult to really understand. People say, that book is an expression of the love of God for his bride. But really, it's hard to understand. I'll be more than grateful if I'm given a general idea so I can really understand what the book is about. Next is from Revelation 2, 3 to 5. How come the Lord commends the people concerning the fact that they have labored for his name? For his name's sake, and not fainted in verse 3. But in verse 4 to 5, he says, they have left their first love and have fallen. What is the difference? And is it possible for someone filled with the Holy Ghost to backslide? Your question long ago. The first one is what? Let's read it again. The first one. Eh? Songs of Solomon. The Songs of Solomon. Yes, it is literally, it is Solomon expressing his love for someone. But the truth is, he was writing that by the Spirit. Prophetically describing the relationship that exists between Christ and his bride. So when you read it, they are all figuratively put there to define the relationship we have with Christ. So it is a love song, a love letter, it's a romantic right up. Expression of his feeling for a woman, and that's exactly how Christ is expressing his feeling for us, making us truly the beloved of the Lord. I don't know what we're supposed to pick there, you know, other than what is written there, to bring it down to see the beautiful bride that he's describing of his true bride. You see them there in Revelation chapter 7 and in Revelation chapter 19. God bless you. The second one is Revelation chapter 2. That's the second church age, correct? In that scripture, he's saying that they had, you know, they stood for him. But towards the end of the age, there is this lukewarmness. They had left their first love. And he was admonishing them to go back to the original fire they used to have. Maybe that is why you ask the question, can a Holy Ghost still believer backslide? Yes. But listen very well. Backsliding Christian is not a state of backslidingness for one who claims you have received the Holy Ghost, you are born again. Then after some time, you go back to beer parlor and drink beer. You go back to prostitution. You go back to 419. You go back to all the abominations you were doing before you claim you came to Christ. The Bible describes that person as a dog that goes back to your vomit. You were never converted before. But can a Christian backslide? Yes. This is how a Christian backslide. He said, you leave your first love. If when you first gave your life to Christ, you were on fire, you could pray for 4 hours, 5 hours, non-stop. You will enjoy it every day. Suddenly, you can hardly pray. Okay? I can't speak like a number of people. Play. Pray, not play. Now, you cannot pray for even 30 minutes. You have backslidden. You used to go out on evangelism every day. Now you hardly go once in a month. You have backslidden. You used to fast before in a certain way. Now you hardly can even attempt to fast. You have backslidden. Things that you used to do on fire, enjoy them, then you begin to slow down on it. It's a state of backslidenness. So yes, filled with the Holy Ghost, you can backslid. But that is the much you can backslid. Not to go back sleeping with your girlfriend, sleeping with women up and down. Then they ask you, say what? Now backslid, oh, I backslid. Oh. Now lie, you were not converted before. You are a dog that has gone back to his vomit. Or a pig that was taken to water baptism and washed. But the nature is not changed. Immediately he saw potopoto. He see naked woman in body charge. You are not converted. If you are converted, if a man be in Christ, a new creature. God bless you.
Shalom, sir. Sir, please, I want to ask this question. In John 5:43, it said that I come in my Father's name. Then also in John 10:30, he said, I am my Father are one. He's calling him Father. Then how is he God? How is Jesus also God?
How is Jesus
also God?
How is he God? He is God because the fullness of the Godhead dwell in him bodily. Therefore, he became the temple of the Holy Ghost, of God. Then he became Emmanuel, God with us, by the incarnation of the great Spirit of God dwelling in him without measure. But you and I received the Spirit of God by measure. But his own was full. So he became Emmanuel.
I also want to ask another question.
Yes.
Judas Iscariot betrayed Jesus. Will he also make heaven?
You say what?
Judas Iscariot betrayed Jesus. Will he also make heaven?
Will he make heaven? Now, when it comes to the Jews, God deals with them as a nation. He has a covenant. He is dealing with them. That covenant is through the seed of Abraham. If you are a seed of Abraham, you come under that covenant. You are sealed by that covenant. Evidence? Circumcision of the flesh. So, if Judas is a seed of Abraham, because Apostle Paul says, not all Israel are of Israel. And the foundation of God stand sure, having this seal. The Lord knoweth them that are his. So as long as you are a Jew, whatever you commit, you pay for it here. He God will deal with you here, here, here. And the last one, the most cruel someone, he give you punishment, he give you, he will kill you. So that your memory is removed from them. And but concerning his election, they are his elect. None can be lost. Thank you. Church, clap your hands for Jesus. Clap your hands for Jesus.